The Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
The apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." The Lord replied, "If you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it would obey you. Who among you would say to your slave, who has just come in from plowing or tending sheep in the field, 'Come here at once and take your place at the table'? Would you not rather say to him, 'Prepare supper for me, put on your apron, and serve me while I eat and drink? Later you may eat and drink.' Do you thank the slave for doing what was commanded? So you also, when you have done all that you were ordered to do, say, 'We are worthless slaves. We have done only what we ought to have done.'" The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. The way the week started out, I had every intention of trying to preach about Habakkuk. Imagine my surprise when the developments of the week didn't lend themselves to deep study on this text that I would have liked. The men's breakfast folks know that we talked about the Old Testament reading, and I had every hope that I would talk about something other than the mustard seed text, which a mustard seed text comes up every year. So I thought I'd like to talk about something different. But here we are, after two funerals, a baptism, and multiple pastoral care interactions this past week, peppered in with a few planning meetings that couldn't be rescheduled. And I felt drawn back to the gospel text. But God is always up to something, and this morning he was in the business of surprising me with first this whole thing about the Cosby Kids trophy, and then the way that the words about slavery hit me in a different way as I read them in the first service this morning. These words about slavery fall on our ears in a different way, and I am going to acknowledge that as a white person living in the year 2019, it probably doesn't fall on my ears the same way as it falls on others. These words about slavery, when we live in a country that was founded as people were brought against their will to come here and break ground for the society we were building. And what's more, when we arrived, we displaced other human beings when we arrived. I know that none of us were alive for that, and I'm not placing blame, but we have to acknowledge that this is a part of our history, and we do benefit from some of the systems that were put in place at that time. The apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." Well, all of the readings this morning had to do with faith. And so throughout the week, as I thought I might preach on a different text, I asked many people, actually it ended up being over a dozen folks, what does it feel like when your faith is increased? This morning we baptized a little girl, her name is Nora, and we were reminded at Cross of Glory that in baptism, God claims us as God's own, and we are invited into this gift of faith. We are gifted it. And sometimes it's an uncomfortable gift. It's like receiving a gift when you arrive at a party and you uncomfortably shift in your seat and say, "I didn't realize we were exchanging gifts." Think of that feeling, that grace. What does that grace, that faith, feel like? Well, I am going to do something that I promised I would do eventually, and I'm going to make you talk to one another right now in the middle of the sermon. I promised the call committee when I was first called here that this is something I do from time to time, and I think I've made it almost an entire 5 months without doing it. So you're welcome. This morning, I will not force you to talk to someone you don't know. We'll save that for later. But I want you to look around you right now and find someone who looks reasonably friendly or who you know maybe. And you are going to get together with that person and share with them what faith feels like. What does it feel like in your body? Where does it come from? How does it feel when you have faith? Turn to your neighbor. I'm going to give you 2 minutes, okay? I'll even do a switch thing in the middle. 1 minute for each of you. I'm going to eavesdrop on you. We're halfway through. 1 more minute. Ten, nine, eight, seven, six, five, four, three, two, one. Thank you for sharing with one another. You passed that test with flying colors. I didn't even prepare you for it. Well, how did you answer? What did you learn? Is anyone willing to share? Lorna, did you want to know? Anyone? Rejuvenation. Feeling refreshed. Yeah.
Feeling the Lord. Come on,
feeling the Lord. Makes you want to do better. Right. And I should have said this, I feel bad because once I went over and started listening, I wanted to tell you there is no right answer. So I'm not going to say wrong. No, that's not going to happen. It's not. You can't fail this test. Steve. Faith is a segue to trust. Strengthen. I like that. Strengthen trust and faith. Lynn. When you didn't, say that again for me. Right. When we needed more faith, it's a gift. It's not something, I like that. One of my images for this sermon was going to be going to the grocery store with your shopping cart and just like grabbing some faith off of the shelf. which is how we approach many things in our life, is if we can get a quantifiable amount, right, that we put in our cart, and that's, it's a gift. Thank you. Faith is a protection, an umbrella over your head. And both of you described it very similarly, but from different, like using different metaphors, kind of like just that feeling that you can share. And in your story, I heard lean on the rest of the community, right, to hold you up when needed. Okay. Well, okay, one more. Yeah. Trusting someone else, forgetting about your own self. When you have like a fork in the road and you kind of trust instead of just determining yourself. Thank you very much for sharing. So with all of that in mind, with this idea of faith, so often we think that we are people that are so faithful, or we try to be. But then I'm reminded of that image, if maybe you're familiar with this. I'm not a big Indiana Jones fan, but I do remember this one image where Indiana Jones is, I think, following a treasure map, or he's trying to get to a place he needs to go. And the map tells him that he's on a precipice, I think in a cavern someplace, and some of you are nodding your heads so you remember this, that he's told to take 10 paces. And when he goes to look, it's a cliff that he has to walk off of. And so there's this scene where he puts his foot up like this, and he's worried about taking that first step, and then he takes it, and it turns out there is a rock bridge across to the other side that from his perspective, he cannot see. They show from the side there's a bridge, and so at that exact spot, if he takes that number of paces across, he'll get to the other side of the bridge. Faith is about taking that first step. But what we often confuse is that while we might talk about faith coming out of our hearts, very often we approach it as something cognitive. That is something we can think our way into. I don't mean to point us out as Lutherans here, but I'm going to. Lutherans are even more deeply thinkers than some of the other Christian traditions. We lean not as much on our faith as on our reasoning. We are scientific sort of thinkers in a way. And sometimes that holds us back because we can't think our way into faith. We can, however, grow in faith. And I really like, now I'm forgetting who said it, that's the concussion talking, that I think it was Jim. Jim, did you talk about strengthening? Or was that Steve? Someone over here talked about strengthening our faith. They're pointing at each other. So strengthening our faith. We get stronger in faith by having faith, by exercising those faith muscles. And I know I've talked about that, about belief and about Christian practices. The more you do it, the more you grow in that way. Just like exercise or anything else, just like reading, right? That's exercising the muscles in our brain. We grow in that way. So I know I said I wanted to avoid that mustard seed discussion, but I can't help it. I have to share with you, and you're probably going to hear this again and again. The mustard seed is so small, and it grows large. Not as large as I once was led to believe. When I was a child, they used to say, though you are but small, you will grow to be a giant tree. Well, a mustard plant, from my understanding, is not actually that large. It's a, Marilyn's doing hand gestures here. It's about almost as tall as I am, maybe like right around here, like a bush, kind of like a hedge almost. But it's kind of straggly, not really pretty. It's good shelter for the birds. And actually, as I walked in, we have a few bushes on the side of the church over here. And there was a bird that was perching, landed as I walked in. And I thought, huh, that's interesting that on a morning I'm preaching about similarly sized bush shrub thing, that a bird takes refuge there. So that's what it looks like, a bush like this. But is this something that someone has planted? Like a rose bush? No. It's like a dandelion. Friends, do you like dandelions? People are kind of mixed on this. Some people like them for their whimsy, that they get those little white, blow them and they go everywhere. Children love them. But those of us who have yards and gardens, typically in the United States, we're not big dandelion fans. Do dandelions grow a lot? They do. Sometimes they get really big if you don't catch them. Do we want dandelions around? No, not really. Can you prevent them from coming from your neighbor's yard into yours? Not really. They grow just about everywhere. I'm reminded that indeed there is a weed that is not a dandelion, but that I have been plucking out of the area right next to my steps at home, kind of like right over here on the side of the concrete. And every week I pluck it out. And then I go all the way around to my next day off when I go back and attend to the yard work. And there it is, grown back right in the same spot. I can't get the thing to die. Not really a big pesticide user, don't get me started. But I pluck it out and it comes back. What does a weed have to do to grow? Not much. Not much. It has to sit there and wait for the sun to shine down and wait for the rain to come and water it. Through the process of photosynthesis, weeds grow. My high school biology teacher would tell us there's no such thing as a weed. The things we identify as weeds are just those things we identify as weeds. They're not actually weeds, they're all plants. And weeds are the ones that grow up in places we don't want them to. It's much easier for weeds to grow than, say, a rose bush or a hydrangea. We have to cultivate some of those things. But a weed pretty much does it on its own. It just grows. It's stubborn, right? Why does Jesus use this image of a weed? A mustard seed that grows into something so large without much help at all. What is Jesus telling us here? Jesus is telling his disciples and us that we actually don't need to make it so complicated. To grow in faith, there is not a specific recipe or regimen we need to follow. We need to gather together with one another and follow where God leads. We do this almost without thinking about it. We gather here in worship. We sing God's praises. We confess. We receive forgiveness. We are reminded of who we are and whose we are. We do that as a part of our weekly tradition, and lo and behold, through these weekly traditions, through our study, through our work together, we grow in faith. I will notice, though, I've noticed this in all my conversations about how faith happens, very rarely do we actually mention coming together in this way for worship or for Bible study as how the faith came to be. Most of us recognize that it's at those points in our life that we so desperately needed to look out to others and to look up to God. Those are the moments when our faith shines through. I like that image of an umbrella that Lorna mentioned. No matter what came down, she was shielded, but you probably weren't aware of it until that moment. We don't always recognize that when we're here together, gathered in worship, that God is with us, gathering us in and preparing us for what is yet to come. Our faith is stubborn stubborn as a weed, and it should be. God blesses us with the gift of reassurance that we belong to God and that God will help us to weather any storm. We give thanks to God for this great gift. Alleluia and amen.